Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 668. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. All right, my trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty cat, is chilling out, laying on the couch right behind me, as I'm sure he'll try to chime in at some point, as we're only like 40-something minutes away from his feeding time, so he's gonna be hungry. He's gonna want to let you know about it. Mainly, I guess he wants to let me know about it. But he just wants me to give him food constantly. Two past the 666, and you know the beast didn't show up. It was 666, the mark of the beast, or maybe I'm the beast. I don't know how that works. I remember seeing stuff before that 666. The references to it in the Bible were somehow they had figured that was Nero Caesar. And, of course, famously, he was the Roman emperor, like Palpatine, you know. I'm afraid your friends will find the shields quite operational. You know, I didn't do a very good Palpatine there, but... Nero, they say that, you know, played the fiddle while Rome burned, when in reality that didn't actually happen from what I understand, but Nero Caesar was a fucked up emperor. But I mean, you know, anybody that rules with unchecked power, not referring to anybody else, right? Currently, there's nobody else out there right now that's yeah, they're all absolute power absolutely corrupts, as they say. Anyway, yeah, Nero Caesar was there was some kind of deal. What, I don't forgot how 666 means Nero. I remember watching something out on the History Channel, and they decoded it. But they were referencing the mark. The devil was Nero Caesar, I guess, because I guess at the time that they had written that particular part, that he was the worst of the worst that they were aware of. Anyway, I'm not going to play the fiddle as Rome burns, or the United States burns, which it's been known to do. You know, it's getting a little rough over here. I lost track of where I was going with any of that. I feel like I should have done more on 666, but I got sidetracked because that just happened to be Muffin Man stopped by that day, and we had that, and I hadn't had Muffin Man on in years. But I was like, man, I got to do some weird shit, maybe do some shit to my voice and everything. And I failed to do so, as I could have done. Hold on, sir. I'm trying to look for it. I've got. Here we go.
I could have done this for 666. I could have been like, "Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is the mark of the beast."
I could have done that because I got, you know, these effects in my soundboard that I never use, and I was stalling to find. I was in a loss because I was trying to cycle through everything in the to find that particular one, that particular effect, and I forgot what it was called. It's called Monster, apparently, on the Rode Caster 2. Rodecaster Pro 2. My apologies. I forgot the pro part. It's a professional. You know? bleeps. I love the sensor beep. You know, go f*** yourself. You know? All right. I haven't had played with sound effects in a while. I tend to forget they're even there. As I remember early days in the show, you know, 13 years ago, I had the sound board set up with Jazzler Show, and I would just I was bad with it, just constantly hitting sound clips. But anywho, it's been interesting, or entertaining rather, to see the, of course, Musk-Trump feud. Who could have seen that coming? Two massive egos, two people that think they are God. You know, they got the God complex going on, thinking that they are. I mean, Elon Musk literally thinks that he's living in a simulation, and that basically he's just playing a video game. I mean, that is what he's stated this many, many a times, that he's basically, we're living in his simulation, which I wouldn't want anybody running anything personally that thought that basically they were playing a video game, and that their choices really didn't hurt anybody, like, physically, because we're not real. That it's just a simulation. I wouldn't want anybody with that kind of mentality anywhere near power. Just saying. And, of course, Donald Trump, who just thinks he's, you know, he's the man of gold. He's fucking Goldfinger, you know. He wants everything gold. And shockingly enough, they're having a spat. They're having a spat. They've had them falling out. Been pretty funny though. As it's gonna be interesting to see, like, how far this goes. I know that you know, by this point, whoever's listening to this is probably seen all the tweets and heard about it. I mean, it's all the news that's been covering the Musk-Trump feud. I think it's hilarious of him talking, Musk, that is, tweeting about the Epstein thing, saying that the whole reason it's not coming out is because Trump's in the Epstein files. Of course he is. Like, who didn't know that? How could he not be in the Epstein files? Not to trust anything that Jeffrey Epstein would have said, but there is audio recording of him that was it Michael Wolff? Wolf, I can't speak. had where Epstein said that him and Trump were best friends for like 15 years. Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, he's going to be in those files. And from the flight logs that were released, Trump was on the flights like 7 times or something to that nature. I don't know exactly, but from what I understand, it's like 7 times. Of course he's going to be in those files. There is, you know, I've heard that how he got set up with Melania was like a friend of Ghislaine Maxwell's, that this fellow had set the whole thing up for him to get with Melania. And there was another girl that he had seen before Melania, who I think might have been like, at the oldest, like 19 or something. I forgot how old she was. She was fucking young, and she was set up with fucking Trump through the Ghislaine Maxwell network of shit. And just saying, there's some connections there. Is it really surprising that, is it really nuclear? I mean, this shit's like pretty out in the open. There's that video that's been going around for like close to a decade of Trump partying with Epstein, and both of them look creepy as shit in there. but yeah, there's definitely, I mean, and you know, Epstein did die while Trump was president. You know, there's I mean, I'm not saying he didn't kill himself, but if you're going to say that big, powerful people had control over that and, you know, sway in that, like Donald Trump had the most powerful, was arguably the most powerful person in the world at the point when Jeffrey Epstein died. Just saying. That's probably a coincidence. But it is funny to see Musk like pushing that, because I realized Bill Clinton was hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein and doing horrible shit because, well, he's a horrible fucking person. Which, unfortunately, you know, the Democratic establishment won't let that go. They're like still praising Bill Clinton, and that's still one of their saints. So that, I think, is what has led to them not pushing for all the Epstein shit to come out. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe there's even more people that we don't know that are involved other than Trump and Clinton. And fuck, I know what Bill Gates was, I believe. I don't even know. There's so many names that have been thrown out there that a lot of them, there was, you know, there's a lot of fake shit out there, but I know obviously the Trump and Clinton, that stuff's been very widely reported. I don't want to go all conspiratorial here. But, you know, Jeffrey Epstein was, you know, and this isn't also not conspiracy. Virginia Giuffre, I don't remember how you pronounce her name exactly, but she's the, she was the victim of Epstein, that one of the ones that came forward and was very public about the whole thing. And she was one that was, had, I guess we'd say, been abused also by Prince Andrew. And there's the picture of her with Prince Andrew, even though Prince Andrew denies it. Like, I do not know this woman. I am British, and nothing's really happened to him other than they took away his duties, as basically he doesn't have to do his job, from what I understand, as a royal. He doesn't have to. They're like, you know what, just go hide away, Prince Andrew. Ah, to be rich, you know, if you fuck up and do some horrible shit, all they're gonna do is like, you know what, you don't have to work, just go and hide. Anyway, she recently committed suicide. I imagine a lot of it had to do with, I mean, coming forward with all of that. And I would imagine she probably had death threats and all kinds of stuff, knowing that, I mean, she named Trump. Because, like, her, the whole connection to, or the whole reason Epstein and Maxwell Ghislaine, whatever the fuck, that they had come across her, was she was working at, I want to say it was Mar-a-Lago. It was one of Trump's properties. Well, I guess it was Mar-a-Lago, because I think it was in Florida where it occurred. And she was, of course, underage, and they got her from Mar-a-Lago. Huh. Who would have thought that the guy that's not connected to Jeffrey Epstein would be that connection. But I would imagine a lot of it just, yeah, the pressure from just constantly being bugged by these people. And that, you know, after coming forward, I would imagine she had to relive all of that shit, all that trauma and everything over and over again. And it seemed like, you know, especially with Epstein basically getting away with it by, you know, committing suicide and never, I mean, he spent brief period of time in prison. And then you've got all these people like Prince Andrew and shit. And, you know, I don't know if anything happened with her and Donald Trump, but knowing that, you know, seeing how these people can just still, you know, just enjoy a life of leisure and wealth and all that shit, and nothing really much changes, is unfortunate. But anyway, that is not the road I really wanted to go down tonight. I just thought, yeah, the Musk and Trump feud is pretty funny. I am also not a fan of Elon Musk. I am a fan of neither one of them. And it is so funny to see all the people that I know that are red-pilled, that big MAGA, that soon as Elon started throwing his hat into the ring for old Donald, that they began to just absolutely love and praise and worship Elon Musk, much like they do Donald Trump. And seeing that come to, like, oh. And now thinking back, and just like, well, what, you know, some of the reaction has been like, oh, this is a master play. They're just fucking around to get the Democrats, like, all riled up and to get them to want the Epstein files released. Which, how would that affect anything? How are the like, Donald Trump is running the show. He put his own people in charge of the FBI, and that are conspiracy theorists themselves, like Cash Patel. Dan Bongino, and how would, you know, Democrats be the one blocking those files coming out now? It's absurd. Like, Trump could just say release those fucking files and they'd be released. But anyway, the now the hate going towards Elon Musk is fantastic. I mean, this guy is just way too powerful, and he became so rich from getting government subsidies for all of his companies. Tesla just gets those EV credits and everything. They just the reason why their stock price has been so obscenely high is all the government subsidies. And SpaceX is, like, funded by the government. They cut a lot of, you know, I don't know what the percentage of NASA's budget was, but I mean, they've contracted it out to, like, SpaceX, and they get just an insane amount of money. And the only reason Elon Musk is the most wealthiest person in the world is government funding. It's all government handouts. He's, you know, the biggest fucking welfare queen of them all. And it is hilarious to see Donald Trump call that out, like this is the biggest waste and fraud. We were going to cancel Elon's contracts, which is fucking hilarious. Just hilarious to me. And people calling for him to be Musk to be deported, because of course he's from South Africa, and he was here. I mean, I'm sure he's a citizen at this point. He's been here for decades, but from what I understand, was here illegally for, I don't know what, how long initially, but he overstayed his visa in the U.S., which is, you know, a massive crime to MAGA, is being here illegally. And it would be just hilarious to me if they end up deporting Elon Musk. I mean, he could really be crushed. I mean, they take away his government funding, and now, like, Tesla, you get, you have so many, like, Democrats that were all for these EVs, which I was never a fan of Tesla, really. I could really, and never really saw the point in these electric cars, because the power, you know, we still run all of our most of our electricity is not green. And you're still going through a lot of fossil fuels to, like, feed the power for these cars. So you're still burning, you know, the carbon imprint isn't really being helped out, or carbon footprint, whatever. not to mention the batteries are a big problem. They, you know, once they're gone, like, I mean, things have to be figured out before they're a really big help to getting down pollution and stuff. And, you know, honestly, I don't follow it that much. That was like the people that wanted to save the environment. That's who was going for EVs. And then once, like, Musk made it clear that he was against those people, and you have the whole Nazi salute thing. There is, you know, I mean, he's from South Africa. I don't know if you know, know much about apartheid, and there was a lot of Nazis, literal Nazis, the old school Nazis, not the neo ones, but Nazis from Nazi Germany, that once World War II was ending, that was one of the places where a lot of them ended up. You know, a lot of them very famously went to South America. But I guess they just like the warm climate. You know, they're like, you know, we have this temperate climate. We're used to having like winters and stuff. Let's just keep it warm. I guess they were used to burning shit and just decided, let's go where it's warm. But a lot of them went to South Africa. And the pro-apartheid people there were, a lot of them were Nazis or, you know, supported the Nazi ideology. And I'm just saying, it's not really a shock that Elon Musk would throw up a couple of Sieg Heils or Roman salutes, as they've claimed. I'm waiting for that shoe to drop. I'm waiting for Trump to call out and say, yep, that was a Nazi salute. Elon's a Nazi. But that, you know, it's so funny for these guys to be like it, like for Musk to be admitting to the whole like Epstein, like being like, this, why isn't it isn't being released, because Trump was in there. Well, of course. But like, you knew that beforehand, before you started supporting him. So you were cool with him being possibly a pedophile and whatnot. And it doesn't look good on you either to be pointing this shit out, you know, is what I'm getting at. But it's funny to like say, like how in bed, like they were saying how much they loved each other and stuff. And now for them to shit all it over each other, it's not making either one of them look good. I mean, but the result is just, it's entertaining. It's entertaining, and I'm just thinking about Elon Musk paying Chinese people to play video games and make him like the number one ranked like Diablo 4 player and shit, or whatever. I don't know. He's done it for many games. He's just because he wants people to think he's a good gamer. Like, that's so sad and pathetic. That is, but I mean, hey, I guess if you've got the money, like, have somebody play on your account. Oh, that is just absurd. See, for me, if I had that kind of money, I'd be like, you know what, I can afford to just not work, and then I could play this fucking game. Maybe I won't be the highest ranked player in the world or anything. And if you, it is funny. Like, he's supposed to run, I don't know, however many companies he's CEO of. And yet he can supposedly play hundreds and hundreds of hours of these different video games. And just like when are you? Like, that shows you how important CEOs are. Like, how hard they really work. If you're really able to just spend all your time playing video games. It's not the flex you think it is. But yeah, I am, as I'm wondering as I record this, like, what's the next shoe to drop? Like, what is, I feel like, you know, maybe Elon will sober up off the ketamine, stop the ketamine. I doubt it. But, you know, he's probably, I don't think either one of them can really stop themselves. I mean, it's just not in their nature. And it's like, I'm wondering how far this is going to go. Like, this is very entertaining. Both of them have power to really fuck each other. Like, really fuck each other hardcore. I mean, Elon's got the cash to bankroll, you know, all these Republican politicians. And that's the only thing stopping Trump from getting impeached is them being on board with everything Trump does. It doesn't matter how illegal it is. they, you know, that's the only way that, you know, Trump is out of office is them just green lighting everything. And if he's able to turn some of them, potentially Trump could get impeached. Then again, you know, Trump is the president of the United States. And he is proven he does not even give a shit about any rule of law. And that he has put his all of his people in power and just has them do whatever they want. And it would be hilarious if, like, the first big political rival he puts in jail is Elon Musk. Because when Trump did get into office this time around, and Elon was running Doge, he was closing all these agencies that were investigating Musk-led companies. And I, you know, sounds like those investigations are going to pop right back up. And, you know, there's legitimate reasons why Musk could potentially go to jail. Like, they don't even have to fabricate shit. And it would be really funny if it was for, you know, trying to buy votes, because he did that outright with the lottery stuff. Although I feel like, was it the Supreme Court? Somebody ruled on it. Like, ooh, we're good. We're giving him a pass. I don't remember what exactly happened with that. But that is against the law. You can't buy votes, like, outright. although I guess you can now. Maybe it depends on what they ruled on that. So, but I mean, both could make either one's life a living hell, and I think it's good for them to focus on each other instead of, you know, ruining the lives of everyday Americans. That's optimism for me. As you know, maybe they'll stop with the Medicaid cuts and whatnot, and then just focus on ruining each other's lives. That would be great. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. In other news, there was, I'm into playing guitar and whatnot. You know, never played in a band, but, you know, I enjoy playing some guitar, and, I've got a little bit of a Gibson addiction. I do love big, semi hollow body, guitars. Like the, Gibson 335, you know, in the first, I had ever seen, a big hollow body guitar, which wasn't the 335. But I don't know the ES line that well, but I don't believe like the 355 and all that and 345 are that different. I think the 335 is smaller, more like a size of a Les Paul, but also still semi-hollow. There is, of course, the famous scene at the end of the original Back to the Future, which they go back to that scene also in the sequel, but they had to reshoot some of it. But there is, of course, the scene where, of course, at the very end of the original Back to the Future, Martin McFly, his mother tries to fuck him in the car, it should be pointed out. one of the, like, the greatest movies of all time, you know. It's like just theme park of a movie, theme park ride, like, you know, I mean, it's just... I mean, it's like that with the DeLorean and everything and the going 88 miles per hour and hitting the lightning and what have you. They're, of course, at the... Oh, shit. What is the name of the dance? The Enchantment Under the Sea, I believe is the name of it. And that's, of course, where Marty's parents first kiss. And he, you know, he's got to go. He's got to make sure that event still happens. Otherwise, he's never going to be born. If his mother fucks him, though I wonder, would he then be his own father? Would he have to then stay and then raise himself? If he fucking knocked up his mother? I guess he would have disappeared. Maybe there would be some kind of mutant. He would be born, but then he'd be, because it was inbred, perhaps he would be, have some kind of disease or something, and just wouldn't be the same person exactly. It was Enchantment Under the Sea. Anyway, of course, they've got an ES-3 45 in the film. This is what guitarplayer.com has to say. Maybe I'll just read that. Of course, it's Marty. It said, "I guess you guys aren't ready for that yet. Michael J. Fox never spoke truer words. Here's what Back to the Future got wrong about Marty McFly's Chuck Berry-inspired guitar show." Oh, this isn't... Damn it. I want to know about... This isn't about the damn... Anyway, the point is, okay, he's playing this 345, which actually came out in 1959, I believe. Instead of, which the dance, I think, is supposed to take place in 55-ish. Lost to the Future is the, website here. Let's see here if I can pull that up. There we go. There's the fucking website. Okay. So this 345, of course, the first I remember of Gibson or any real semi-hollow body. I'm sure I even seen B.B. King or something play it. But, I was pretty young. I think it was 85. When Back to the Future came out, I was 4 fucking years old. So I don't know for certain, but I feel like the memory that sticks in my head of a semi-hollow body guitar is fucking Michael J. Fox playing it in Back to the Future. And that's a big inspiration why a lot of people, especially my age, really love the big semi-hollow body guitars. And, of course, he's playing Johnny B. Goode on it. And rocking it out. That original guitar from the first movie, which I believe they used multiple ones, actually. But I guess the main one that they used was has gone missing. They don't know what happened to it. They were actually loaned that guitar via Norman's Rare Guitars. And I believe the shop is in L.A. It's like the most famous guitar shop in the world. And they got a great YouTube channel. I've talked about them before on the podcast. And, I mean, I would love to go. If I ever go to California, I got to go to Norman's. And I'm afraid to go there because I'll probably try to buy a vintage instrument that will cost a fortune. I feel like Norman, I think his last name's Harris. Norm is probably like single-handedly the one to like really push for the vintage guitar market and like why they are so sought after vintage guitars. The documentary they have on Norm's guitars is pretty great. That's on Netflix and gets into... the starting of it and everything. And anyway, he's loaned guitars to many films. And the most famous one has got to be, of course, Back to the Future. And they, is there really not this? Anyway, so yeah, they lent it to him, and of course it, I believe it went back to Norm's Guitars, and I guess he sold it at some point, and it just went, and no one knows exactly what happened to it. I thought this website would have a little bit more details, but Gibson is looking for this guitar. They've got the whole cast, basically, of Back to the Future, Leia Thompson, Michael J. Fox, Christopher Lloyd, Huey Lewis is even in like the promo for this, like, and they've got, they put out a short film, I guess, almost a trailer for it, because they're saying they're making a movie out of this, the hunt for this 345, cherry red Gibson ES-345, and they have a website set up, of course, losttothefuture.com, and there's a countdown on it. There's really not much to this website, although it's got a really cool graphic. It's got the DeLorean with a Gibson license plate on the back, and it appears to be the DeLorean from Part 2, because, of course, there is the food processor on the back to give it the fuel, because they were using, like, garbage and shit in the second one to help fuel it. But, of course, which I find it odd that they would choose the second one as the DeLorean and not the original, because they're looking for the original 345. And it's got the 345 laying on the DeLorean. The DeLorean's got, of course, one of the wing doors open. And the Gibson 345 is standing up, laying against the DeLorean. And it keeps disappearing and reappearing. Which is, just like in the movie, of course, where you have the photograph where Marty's siblings are disappearing in it. And, of course, Marty himself starts disappearing until his father, played by Crispin Glover, decks Biff. And that's when, of course, he ends up, coming back as... As you know, his parents are about to get it on because his dad is a champ. Anyway, yeah, the rest of this website, I mean, it's just got the Lost to the Future, and it's just like in the font of Back to the Future. And it says, have you seen this guitar? If you or someone you know has any information that can help us find the missing cherry red Gibson ES-345 electric guitar from Back to the Future, please click the button below, call or text to share the details of your story. Now, there's a submit tip tab, and there's a stay updated tab, and there's also a tip line. You can call or text 1-855-345-1955. of course, that is the year he goes back to, is 1955, so that's funny. But then there's a countdown to the right, which is odd. Why would there be a countdown if they haven't found the guitar? It doesn't make any sense. But the countdown currently is at 4 months, 14 days, 10 hours, 38 minutes, and 18 seconds. Which, why would there be a countdown if they haven't found it? Are they then just going to say, oh, we didn't find it? It seems fishy. It does seem as if they do know what happened to that guitar. And maybe they didn't at first, but they found it through some looking. And, this is obviously going to have to lead to, it would appear that Gibson is going to put out a custom shop model of this cherry red Gibson ES-345 of Marty McFly's, which I'm wondering, do they put a Marty McFly signature on there, or do they put like Michael J. Fox's signature on there? Like, what are they going to do with that? I mean, that inspired a lot of people to pick up a 345 or 335, It is, I mean, very iconic. Any video you pull up on YouTube that talks about like 335s, they're going to say Marty McFly put this shit on the map. He'll get some kind of mention. And anyway, the video is pretty cool where they talk about it. And I think, I don't remember if Norm's in, I don't think Norm's in that video. They do mention that guitar in the Norman's Rare Guitar doc on Netflix. Because he did talk about loaning guitars to several movies. But now I've got the Back to the Future music stuck in my head. And if they put out, I'm going to say, like, I do love semi-hollow guitars and whatnot. I wonder if there's anything hidden. No hidden. It doesn't look like there's hidden tabs anywhere on this website. I was wondering if there was something hidden, but it doesn't appear so. I'm clicking everywhere. I would imagine they're putting out a custom shop, not shop model, not a like USA run, maybe an Epiphone line of it, but I'm assuming this is going to be a super fucking expensive, very limited run, much like they did with the Back to the Future 2 sneakers, the Nike sneakers that he had in part 2. That were very limited, very fucking expensive. This one's probably going to be a custom shop model that's going to be very pricey, and I don't plan on getting that. I will not get that, though I am looking at getting Gibson ES 335 Supreme. I'm going to trade in one or two guitars, which will knock the price down a little bit, but it's still going to cost a little bit. I'm looking into that. We'll see what happens. As I do need to stop spending so much money. But this is an investment. I do know that, thanks to like Norm and people like Norm, that the vintage guitar market is, if you can sit on a guitar for like 10, 20 years, that's some real cash. And if you keep it like intact, I'm thinking my two Gibsons that I currently have, sure that they'll probably be worth some more money in like 10 years or so, but they're very high run production models. The Adam Jones and the Tony Iommi, they're still, even in like 10 to 15 years, probably going to be quite a few of them out there. But this Gibson ES 335 Supreme that I'm thinking about getting, I feel like there's going to be less of those. Now, it's not a custom shop model, but I've also thought like once I get that and then maybe for now on down the road, I can trade that with some other guitars and just, keep the red paper clip thing, the old red paper clip, which was in the somewhat early days of the internet when they traded the red paper clip for various different items, then ended up with a house. I figure maybe if I just trade these nicer guitars for, keep trading guitars of lower value and then just trade my way up to getting a Gibson custom, because those things are fucking expensive. Now, I still wouldn't go with probably the Marty McFly guitar. But it would be fantastic to eventually work my way up to a Gibson custom and not have to pay for that immediately, So if I could just hold on to a guitar that could potentially raise in value and then get like a custom shop, that would be fantastic. Or just, hold on to that. And then if shit goes south, which I'm getting older, there's a good chance, something can happen and I'm going to need money ASAP and I'll have to unload all my guitars. But I figured it's an asset. That's like an investment to me, is buying. The whole point I was getting at, vintage guitars are, a very good investment. The more rare they are, the more it's going to hold its value and gain value. It will go up in price. And as long as I don't fucking break the damn thing or get it stolen, what have you, then theoretically... It is something that in my later years or when shit gets rough that I could just turn around and sell, as long as I don't just take it to like a fucking pawn shop depending on how badly I need money, you know, it's like, how quickly do I need to turn this? When it comes down to it, I'm just trying to justify buying another guitar, I think is what's going on here. I'm just telling myself it's an investment. A lot of it too is like, I've got the Epiphone Riviera, which is the main one I'm looking at trading in to get the other Gibson. It is a pricier Epiphone. It's not like the inspired by Gibsons. I've enjoyed the guitar. I've had it probably for about 2 years now. But really when I got it, after getting it, I noticed pretty much immediately there was a lot of stuff I'm not fond of. The tuning keys are really small, which is really annoying. It's something I could live with, but I really just don't like the tuning keys. That's something I could get by. But the neck profile, when you get lower down the neck, I don't like the profile so much. It's hard for me to fret out some chords. Just because I just wish it had I don't even know how to describe it. I don't know if it's just too thin of a neck profile or what, but I don't know. I just like hitting certain chords is a little rough for me when I get closer to the 12th fret. But it's not a problem on most of the other guitars I have. I like a fatter neck. That is something. I don't know, the guitar, maybe it's just because I'm not that into Oasis. I like some Oasis songs. I don't feel that I need to have a Noel Gallagher guitar. That could be it. I do like the color of it, that dark wine red. I do like having just that semi-hollow body and being able to play it acoustically or electric. That is fantastic. Because, you know, half the time I don't feel like plugging it into an amp. I just want to get a little practice in. I just pick it up and just start playing. Actually, more often than not these days, I plug in without, or I don't plug in. No matter what guitar I pick up, because a lot of times I just want to pick it up and play a little bit just to keep my hands, my fingers nice and hard. I want to keep my fingers hard. that is a way to do it. It's just, you know, you got to keep playing a little bit. So like when I get up, when I'm about ready to go to work in the morning, I'll pick up and just play a little bit. Like right out the door, I'm not going to take the time to get the amp plugged in, all that shit. It's just a quick little run through a couple riffs, put the thing down, keep those fingers hard. You know, you just want to keep stroking them, keep them hard. Maybe spit on it a little bit. No, I wouldn't spit on that. It's going to go on my guitar. I don't want shit rusted up. But you get the drift. I'm going to stroke it. I'm going to stroke it on its neck. Anyway, yeah. I do love me some 335s. And a lot of the reason why, too, like I have always wanted a burst guitar, which I do have the Adam Jones, which is a burst, but it's a metallic burst. I want something with some where you can see the wood grain in it with that metallic burst, the silver metallic burst. I mean, you can't. It's a cool looking guitar. I love the guitar, but I want something where you can see like the figuring of the guitar, which I don't know. I just love seeing like the wood figuring in a burst. I'm thinking about getting a blueberry burst. Do enjoy a blueberry burst. And seeing that wood grain is fantastic. I'm staring at pictures of the Back to the Future guitar, and over here I got the ES-335 Supreme. I've got a it's an addiction, man. It is an addiction. I like playing guitar, but it's not like I don't do it for a living. I don't have I don't have banned any of that nature. Anyway, I am interested to see what happens with the movie, though, with the Gibson movie. And I am not the first person to say this about thinking that they probably already know what happened to the guitar. I mean, it seems really fishy, especially the countdown. The countdown seems super fishy. I mean, it's obviously Gibson. I think this is just sheer marketing. It's good marketing, though. Man, they spent some money in just making, like, the promo video for it and shit. And it's... I mean, I love Back to the Future. And I love Gibson. So it is... I'm in for that. Again, not going to buy that guitar, though. I know how much that thing's probably going to run for, and it's going to be over 10 grand. It's going to be well over 10 grand, which is way too much to spend on a guitar. Unless I have, you know, multiple guitars that are worth several grand, and then I could, you know, trade them in and then just have to pay like a grand or two. But I'm not there. I don't have guitars that are worth that much. I mean, if I sold all of my guitar equipment, I could knock it down to a reasonable amount, but then I would have no guitars or amps or anything. I would have to, which I've collected for, you know, several decades now. It was not stuff that I spent money on all right away. But, you know, I'm in my 40s, so I've got guitars that I've had for over 20 years. And those ones aren't very valuable, though. But if I sold them and, you know, the amps, guitar pedals, whatnot, it could really knock that down. But I'm not doing that. Although, I mean, it would. I mean, a lot of people do make money off buying and selling guitars, especially, like I said, vintage guitars. I mean, they are worth a lot of money. I don't think I could ever do that, though, because my problem is, like, there's only two guitars that I have owned that I no longer have anymore, and they were the first two guitars I ever had, and they were both super fucking cheap. One was, I don't even know if I spent $50 on it. It was the first guitar I ever had. It was, like, out of a fucking mail order catalog. And I don't even remember the fucking name brand of it. It wasn't a name brand. It was... It was a shitty guitar. It was a shitty acoustic guitar, but it was something that I could, you know, I learned some shit on it. It served its purpose, and I had it for, about 10 years. I held on to it for quite a while, and then when I split up with my ex-girlfriend who I lived with, I just fucking left it there. I don't know what happened to it then. Maybe burnt it. I don't know. It wasn't worth any real money. And then I had my first ever electric guitar, which I gave somebody $100 for. It was used. Somebody had spilt soda on it, from what I understand, and then scraped all the finish off it, thinking they were just going to refinish the guitar, and then never did. And so it just had, like, no lacquer on it at all. And I don't know, I paid like $100 for it. It was a Fender Squire. It was a Strat, and the early Squires just weren't the greatest quality made guitars. It was when they first started making Squires. And but it was, again, another one that just kind of served its purpose. Other than that, I've kept all my guitars, although I did have a bass too. I ended up giving the bass away when I moved in with Jackman. I gave them the bass because they had a band and whatnot. And I think they might still have that bass. I'm not sure. I know the drum set. I had given them the drum set I had, and that they, I think, ended up selling. But the bass they might still have. Not certain. Anyway, yeah, I've kept most of the instruments I ever had. As far as guitars go, I've kept all but two. So I've had, I guess, 10 guitars in my lifetime. I've still got 8 of them. My point is, I don't think I could ever like trade and buy and just make money off buying and selling guitars. Which would be like, I think would be like cool way to make money. And I've seen the YouTuber Trogly, that Trogly's guitar show. I watch his stuff quite a bit. He makes, you know, a living at, well, one off the YouTube channel and off buying and selling guitars. And I mean, it'd be a cool way to do it, but I just find it hard to part with guitars. buy these. And just trading for another one, like, it, you know, it would be great. Like, I am starting to get to the point, though, where I've got, having eight guitars is definitely unnecessary. Although, I mean, it is cool to keep other guitars and different tunings and whatnot, but in the reality of things, I really just use two different tunings for the most part, drop D and then standard. And although, you know, occasionally I'm like, you know, I'd like to play something like a half step down or C sharp standard, which I've got one in C sharp standard, my other Fender, one of my other Fenders. But yeah, there's a certain point, you know, you're not going to be able to play all your guitars, at least not. You're going to go periods of time where you don't play one for a long period of time. And it's a bit unnecessary to have so many. So I'm starting to feel like maybe I could buy and sell and trade whatever. Sell and trade. I got the buying part down. I've had the buying part down for years. I figured that part out. The selling and trading is a bit of an issue. But again, yeah, I don't... it would be so hard to part with stuff and to make trades. Though, with honestly, though, I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm going to trade in this Noel Gallagher one, which I kind of thought after pretty much initially upon getting it, I felt like, you know, this wasn't exactly the guitar for me. And that it wouldn't break my heart to get rid of it. But for the most part, like, I don't want to get rid of my other guitars. Even though, like, my Tamarillo Strat, when I got that, I played the shit out of that. And I haven't really been playing it much at all since really getting the Adam Jones. But since I've gotten the SG, the Tony Iommi SG, and the Noel Gallagher thing, like, those are my three guitars that I really have in rotation. And I really rarely ever touch that Tamarillo. But I love that Tamarillo guitar. I can't really part with it. It's got a fucking kill switch on it. But it does have things I don't like on it either. It's got a Floyd Rose. I don't really care for Floyd Roses. I would really... I find it more of a pain in the... if you play them all the time, you know, keep them in tune. They stay in tune really well. But when you let it sit for a long time, it's going to go out of tune. You're going to have to fix it out of tune. And it's a pain in the ass to, you know, you got to get an Allen wrench out. If you're going to just use the regular tuning keys on it, you got to get an Allen wrench out and loosen it at the nut to be able to tune it like a normal guitar. You got the fine tuning screws at the bridge, which work great, but if it's really far out of tune, you got to undo the nut and tune it that way, which adds more steps to it, and it's kind of annoying. That's the reason why a lot of times I'm like, you know, I don't really feel like playing that right now, because I'm going to have to I'm going to have to do some shit. Whereas, you know, I like to just be, you know, it's just so much easier when I'm so used to the tuning of other guitars that I just pick it up. And just, and I don't do dive bombs and shit. It's not really something I give a shit about. So Floyd Rose is just kind of, yeah, I just don't really give shit about Floyd Rose. Just my take on that. But yeah, I am interested in watching this, what exactly happens. I'm sure they're going to have, as far as the Gibson Back to the Future guitar, I'm assuming, because they recently, it was like a month ago, they had Michael J. Fox out to, I guess it was the Custom Shop factory, which I should have known something was up, but I think it had given him a guitar. Of course, Michael J. Fox does play guitar in real life. I don't know if he can so much anymore. I mean, the Parkinson's has gotten pretty bad for him. I think he might be in a wheelchair a lot of the times now, because, I mean, it's hard for him to walk. He falls a lot. And there is a really good documentary about him called Still on Apple TV, which I don't currently have, but I had briefly when I got my phone. I had the free trial going on, and I did watch that documentary. It was pretty good. I mean, who doesn't love Michael J. Fox? But he was at one of the Gibson factories. I want to say it was the Custom Shop one, which would lead me to believe, you know, they've been on the work. I mean, obviously, they've been in the works for this for a while, probably before Michael J. Fox went out there, because, you know, they had to put this video together and shit, and they got the website up. The website probably didn't take too long. But the video, I'm sure, took a little while. Took some editing. And I'm certain they're cooking something up. And it's, I would imagine they're going to make some big cash off this. I would imagine this is going to be, even though I'm pretty sure it's going to be a very limited run, there's going to be so many people that will pay top dollar for this guitar. It's going to be a big one. It's going to be a big one. Though maybe they'll end up putting out more of a USA standard, USA run, like a standard run. I doubt it, though. I feel like it's just going to be a custom shop. Custom shop and maybe 100, 200 guitars. And though if you get that, that would be something. If you managed to get your hands on one of those, that would be something that would probably double in value in like 10 to 20 years. Like, that would be a solid investment. It would be a solid investment, because Back to the Future is fucking timeless. I mean, it is just as entertaining now, you watch it now, than it was in fucking 1985. And there's, you know, people of all ages seem to fucking love this movie. So, I mean, that is historic. Fucking historic. I should have seen this coming, because like I did when I saw, because I follow Cesar Guiken, I remember how to pronounce his name, but the CEO of Gibson. I was actually following him before he became CEO, when he was just was a brand president or something. I forgot what he was before CEO, but he's the current CEO of Gibson, and I follow him. And because he's got a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. He's been making his own guitars, as in going in and building them himself. And he's like, I know at least one or two of them he's auctioned off for charity. But he's got a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, and he teases a lot of stuff. The guy knows about social media, man. He is on social media all the time, and he's all about the marketing. And I should have realized something was going on when he had Michael J. Fox in the factory. And, I mean, not that I don't know. I just didn't really put a whole lot of thought to it. But it should have been like, oh, they're definitely making a Marty McFly guitar. I was just thinking, maybe they could put some kind of artwork on some of them, have like something Back to the Future related, and maybe on the back of it, do like with the Adam Jones Epiphone line where they had art guitars. They could do something, have a fucking DeLorean on the back of one, but that probably wouldn't look cool on that. I feel like that would just kind of ruin the guitar. But, you know, maybe, I mean, they could, I don't know what they could really put on there. But I would think, yeah, it's going to be a custom. Though maybe, you know, there's so many people that love Back to the Future. Maybe you probably start with a custom shop run of just insanely expensive, and then maybe do an Epiphone inspired by Gibson run where it's a more high-end Epiphone, and just do a cost-effective one that where you're going to sell just a fuck ton of units. That being said, though, I don't know. I feel like maybe they're just going to keep it to the expensive collectors, which is kind of a shame. Kind of a shame, because then, you know, the regular people can't have it. And I feel it's dangerous that I've had this website up in front of me and that I keep staring at this guitar, because I just might convince myself I need to buy it. I am such a fucking... such a mark for capitalism. I didn't used to want to buy everything, but as I guess become older and don't do as much stuff. Like there was a period of time, at least in my 30s, where I went out a lot more and did more things and didn't feel the need to buy a bunch of shit. But here I am in my 40s, staying at home most of the time, and I'm just constantly I guess a lot of the problem is I'm constantly online and I'm constantly getting ads in my face for shit. And they have gotten so good. The algorithms have gotten so good at marketing to me the shit that I want, that it's going to be shoved down my throat so much that I'm just going to like, all right, here we go. Take my fucking money, you fuckers. And I know that's what's going on. It's like, you know, going to the grocery store and they have everything at, you know, all the aisles for the candy. A lot of it's sold towards kids to where they want it just the right eye level. The stuff that's going to kids, they want it to see it. And that's how, you know, it's old school marketing, but just on steroids. Because grocery stores for, you know, decades upon decades have been arranging their stores to where the people they're selling it to are going to see the shit that are, you know, not necessarily this stuff people need, but they know that's the audience that's going to buy it. There's been research on this going back decades and decades, and it's just gotten so good. And I know that's what's going on. That's the problem. I know that's what's going on, and yet I can't stop myself. It's a conundrum at best. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You need some distractions in life. So, you know, you got to find stuff, I guess if buying shit makes you feel better. But yeah, I guess I'm about good here. I've started on a rant about the Elon Musk Trump feud, which I thought I'd go more funnier, but I just kind of went more dark with pedophilia and whatnot. And I didn't really know exactly where I was going to go with that. And I don't feel like I had that much different to say than what's already out there, unfortunately. But what can you do? It's like it's all over the news. I guess just buy more shit. That's how you keep America going. Buy more shit. And hey, hopefully buy more American shit like Gibson. Yeah, I guess that's it. So as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.